Welcome to The Burnout Show, a weekly conversation with special guests who generously share their burnout stories with us. We also chat with health and wellness experts on how to best navigate burnout when you're in the thick of it, as well as how to avoid it returning. And now here's your host, Jess Jones.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Burnout Show. Today's very special guest is Shanna Kennedy. Shanna, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here today. Thanks for having me.
We were just having a little chat before we started recording. I actually have read a couple of Shanna's books years ago. One in particular really had a huge impact on me. It was called The Life Plan, and I highly, highly recommend it to anyone who just, it's great in any various points of your life, but if you're feeling like you're stuck in a bit of a rut, or you need to kind of check back in with yourself and your values and the things that you're interested about, highly recommend reading The Life Plan. It's such a good book. So it's so nice to finally connect with you properly today.
Oh, that's great to be here.
So besides all the writing that you've done, can you tell us a little bit about what you do and what led you down this path?
It's an interesting journey. It wasn't one that I planned, that's for sure. I basically finished school. I was so gung-ho and so eager to work that I wanted to be a stockbroker. So I just went straight in there, started in the filing department and worked my way up onto that trading desk. I was just, don't worry about university. Let's just work as hard as we can. And I had that European background of, you know, go hard or go home. And it was all about work ethic. So if I ever did sit down, I actually felt lazy. So that was like the foundation of where I came from. And then they really wanted me to go and study, and I didn't really want to. So I thought I'll just change industry. So I traveled the world for a couple of years, came back and started in sport sponsorship, basically, and learned from a very amazing man who was a lawyer how to run a business from the ground up and look after Australia's best golfers. So he taught me how to run golf days, negotiate contracts, do the accounts, do all the marketing, everything. So I had this incredible real life education, I suppose, which really put the fuel into my soul. I loved it, absolutely loved it. And then I went to Bolle, where I had a couple of hundred athletes to look after as a sponsorship manager and organize all of the PR for the company. And I married the job. I loved it. It was, you know, how we were speaking before about it's like heroin. It's so addictive. Achievement junkie, A-type, overachieving, perfectionist, trying to be really fit, trying to marry the job, trying to have relationships, going out to parties. The whole 20s was just this hyped up, crazy time of me in heaven, like just running as fast as I could any direction that I went. And it cost me my health. You know, it cost me very, very badly, actually, chronic fatigue and depression before I even hit 30. Wow. And I've had to live with that for 20 years because I think once you do burn out properly and you get a big crack in your system, it's like you're a Ferrari with a crack in the engine. Whenever we do put the foot down again to a certain level, the crack appears. So 20 years later, I'm still getting warning signs, achy bones, have to go to bed for a day, you know, managing depression along the way. And it's all a result of that. And I wish I'd had some self-care strategies. I wish I knew how to protect the asset, but I just didn't have the education or the knowledge.
Yeah. And, you know, a different time as well. When you're in your 20s, you're not really thinking about, oh, I need to look after my health and wellness. You're thinking about, what's next? Bring it on. Let's have some fun. It's your 20s. So.
Oh, absolutely. And you think you're totally indestructible. And it was really while I was very, very sick that I hired a life coach, and she really helped me. Not that I knew how to set goals, but small ones, like how to actually accept where I was at and restart and recalibrate and grow a new plan for my life moving forward that would accommodate chronic fatigue. Yeah. So that was a really big adjustment. And then I really thought about our athletes, our country's athletes. We're seeing them at the Olympics this year. And it was really interesting because I saw what happened to them with life after sport.
Yeah.
And 20 years ago, nobody cared about them.
No.
So I went and studied life coaching and coached athletes into retirement. That then went really big. I invested so much into myself with education, having coaches for myself, really working with people, taking up yoga, recalibrating my whole gut and body system, and then starting to teach it to other people. So that's what I've been doing for 20 years, teaching life and wellness skills that we just never get taught at school.
Yeah, and you're so right, we don't. And it's only now and, you know, really just the past couple of years where we're seeing the impacts of that and that flow-on effect, because there are so many stories like yours where it's just the thrill, the rush of the job and the dream and all of the things that we're hustling for. And there was definitely not that education around prioritizing your mind and your body and your wellness in general. And there is slowly we're seeing progress, but there's still, I feel like there's another wave of it now because people are struggling, you know, during the pandemic and post-pandemic with either they're hustling to keep their jobs and to prove themselves, to show, you know, their worth and that they can do it, or they've lost their jobs and they're hustling to get back into the workforce. So either way, people are stressed and struggling, and the last thing they're thinking about is, oh, I need to, you know, practice self-care.
And really, we've got different personality types too. Yes. We've got introverts and we've got extroverts. We've got introverts that are thinking, oh, this is heaven. I can stay home. I don't have to see people, get on public transport, be in the office, go to parties. This is amazing. And they actually burn out first.
Yeah.
Because they're in their little nest and they will work all day, all night. No one's interrupting. Mm. Fantastic. The extroverts burn out a little bit less because they keep getting up. They keep having to walk down and get a coffee. They need to see people. They need to move. They need to, oh, I can't just sit still like this. It's just, I need people for energy. So they keep moving around. So it's been very fascinating watching that. And also the very different scenarios people are in. The house is really full of kids and partners, so they've got no space. Yeah. So they feel suffocated. And then you've got the other people who are completely isolated, all alone. They don't have a friend within their 5 kilometres, and they're really struggling as well.
Yeah, it is such a challenging time for people all over the world. And even though, yeah, look, you know, it's going to take a while before everyone is vaccinated and all that sort of stuff. And, currently at the moment while we're recording, big parts of New South Wales are in lockdown and have been for quite a while. And obviously we saw that in Melbourne where we're based last year for, I think it was 6 months altogether.
Yes.
And it just feels like a blur now. So, it is a really challenging time, that's for sure. So, Shanna, before wanting to be a stockbroker, is there something you wanted to be when you grew up?
No, I didn't really know, actually. I watched Wall Street, the movie, when I think I was in about year 10.
Yeah.
And saw Gordon Gekko, and I thought, oh, that will do. That will get me started.
Yeah.
Love the hype. So I did my work experience at the stock exchange, running the tickets on the floor from the machine through all the crazy people up to the people yelling. And that for me, I was hooked instantly with that kind of life, fast-paced lifestyle.
Yeah. It would have been thrilling.
And now I need to really pace myself.
Yeah.
Because we just burn out over and over and over again. And that art of protecting the asset and looking after ourselves is now the biggest achievement.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. So what was it like pulling yourself out of that slump of burnout at the end of, you know, your late 20s? You said you worked with coaches, but what was that like having to switch pace so extremely?
It was a giant grieving process, really, because you sort of are lying there thinking, I cannot have this life ever again, and nor should I. But grieving the loss of the joyride that you were on and having to start and take responsibility for our mental health, physical health, and emotional health. And it was a very, very dark place to be because it's very, very painful, chronic fatigue. And it's like having a huge, huge hangover and being in a brawl, but you've done nothing but drink water.
Yeah.
So you can't get your head off the pillow and everything hurts, and even turning the shower on, it's too heavy. So a lot of that was a big wake-up call, and it wasn't nice, and I didn't want it.
Yeah.
So I did grieve. I got angry. I got frustrated. I got sad. I had to accept, and then I had to rebuild.
Mm. So
a very big journey.
Massive. And like you said, still going, because you still have to live with that.
I still grieve today. Some days, you know, when I see people, I walk down the beach every morning, I see people running, and I know I can never run again. I'm looking around going, okay, but I can get through the grief cycle now in about 10 minutes, where it used to take weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh. So knowing all you know about yourself and how your needs, I guess, and how you need to manage yourself, what do you do today to manage your time and energy effectively?
That's a great question. I have my bookends of the day, which is how I start the day and how I finish the day are imperative to my health.
Yes.
So starting with breathing in bed before I even get up, doing that really big diaphragmatic breathing just to make sure my nervous system is ready for the day. Then I get up, make my bed, I move my body. So I always walk for an hour or go to yoga for an hour, Pilates, something quiet. Good and strong, but not really slaughtering myself.
Sure.
And then I have my shower. I do a lot of mindful breathing again in the shower. I spent probably 2 years learning how to breathe properly.
Wow.
And I think a lot of people just walk around holding their breath, or they're doing the shallow breathing, which is not oxygen to the brain. The other thing that I did is really learned how to train my brain to be into the positive. So let's allow today to be easy and effortless. You know, I feel terrific. I keep tricking the brain, the computer program, which is sending messages to my body. If I say I'm tired, I'm exhausted, it's too much all the time, it just festers and builds and builds until you explode.
Yeah.
And you create a lot of dis-ease in your body. So I'm trying to find the easiest pathway through. And at nighttime, similarly, I do a lot of gratitude. I take a lot of supplements. I spend quite a lot of time washing my face, brushing my teeth, connecting with myself, checking in, and really working out where the boundaries need to be. So I even go into my diary and I block out a whole day, usually once a month, as just a self-care day. No chores, no work, no Instagrams, no nothing. Just go and just go in for a nice long walk, have a massage, take yourself out for lunch, read a book. Just read and sit in the sun and read. So if it doesn't get scheduled, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So I really ensure that I do that. I do a lot of, 10-minute meditations in between clients just to restore and recalibrate my nervous system. So there's nothing difficult.
Yeah.
It's all very easy to do. But I've got to a stage where I value that is the achievement of the day, not selling 10,000 books.
Yeah.
The achievement is, did you look after yourself so you can have longevity in your career and not burn out?
Yeah.
Because if you don't do these things during the day, by Christmas I'll be burnt out.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's that flipping of the mind, that retraining of the brain, that ticking off the meditation that's on my to-do list and the walk and the breathing and the every time you wash your hands, take 3 deep breaths. Just that grounding, that whole time fueling the body with life, which is breath. And what a difference that makes, so that you're not an exhausted mess on the couch every night. It's a really nice thing to do for yourself. So I think it's about honoring the self-mastery skills like that, that you know if you do for the next 20 years, you will never burn out. It's not possible.
Mm. I love those tips. And also because, and we've spoken about bookends a bit on this show, because I think it's something that's so important, and we have great intentions at times and, we're busy, or someone's hit snooze on their alarm, or they've decided to watch Netflix instead of do whatever it is they normally do to wind down. But I love all of the things that you've shared, because they're really easy to do. Anyone can do them. They're not going to cost you money. You can do those things for yourself, and they give you so much.
And, living in Melbourne, you've got to be pretty motivated. But if you know that every single day at 6 the alarm goes off, I do my breathing, I get up, I make my bed in the dark, put my clothes on in the dark, and I just move. You have to move or you're sitting all day. Yeah. So whether it's raining or windy or hailing or whatever it might be in Melbourne, I've got my beanie, my gloves, my jacket, the dog, everything is ready the night before. So that's already decided the night before because tomorrow starts today. Yeah. So that preparation that we do in the night allows you to not even have to make decisions in the morning. You just do, you just execute.
That's it. And no arguments with yourself because everything's there ready to go.
Yeah, no battle with the band. Yeah, no, it's already decided. That's what you're doing. And you know that, you know, every morning when you come back, you always say to yourself, best way to start the day.
Exactly.
Never regret a walk. Probably is going to be my highlight of the day, you know, going down to the beach and watching the water and walking along there. I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. So what do you do when you start to notice some stress coming in or some overwhelm? What's the first thing you do for yourself?
Yes, more breathing.
Yeah.
But I also work with my naturopath. So we work in seasons. So we'll look at winter. We'll have a look in my diary. We'll look at how much is booked in. Mm-hmm. And she will supplement my body for the season. So in 12-week blocks. So I do quite a bit of that. But when I do notice that it's really coming in, I probably will start to turn the TV off at night and I'll do a lot more of that reading, quiet, very, very quiet stuff, a lot more stretching, a lot more lying with my legs up the wall, which I find for me with chronic fatigue is the most restorative thing I can do for myself, is just lying there with a nice meditation on and my legs up the wall and getting the blood flowing the other way. So just doing those gentle things, starting to say no, no to dinners, no to coffees, no, no, no. A lot more no comes in, a lot more of that boundary to protect until the fuel tank is full again.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, again, another thing we've spoken about a lot on the show is the boundaries factor, and it can be easier for some than others, that's for sure, particularly, you know, the type A's, the overachievers and the people pleasers that don't want to let anyone down, and that take on, you know, that responsibility of having to manage everyone else and keep everyone else happy first and then themselves last. And it can be really hard to say no. So what have you done for yourself to get to a point, besides knowing that you really need to, because sometimes that's not enough, but what have you done with yourself to kind of train yourself to be able to say no when you know it's time to?
You would, it did take a while. It definitely took a little while.
Yeah.
But now I've gone from FOMO, you know, fear of missing out,
to FOMO,
joy of missing out.
Yeah.
I actually get pleasure from saying no, unless it's something really important.
Mm.
If there was a bunch of girls going out for dinner and I just was having the pains and the aches, I would just say, look, unfortunately, I'm just a bit overloaded. I can't get there.
Yeah.
And I would have no guilt. No, nothing, because I know in order to turn up tomorrow and be able to coach people, run presentations, get my books out there, whatever it might be, I can't be tired.
Yeah.
You just can't be. So I also think it's a part of authenticity. So if you're a life coach and you're helping so many people, yet you're not looking after yourself, you're not being authentic.
Absolutely.
And that is imperative for me, like it is a non-negotiable. So it's that commitment to myself to show others the way, which has been very important to me over the past 20 years.
Yeah. So what brings you joy besides missing out?
I love music. So especially in lockdown, we've all got our speakers in the shower and I turn into a complete teenager and I can sing so loud in the shower. I love it. I just love walking. I love walking. It brings me so much joy, either walking with great music or silence or a podcast, just whatever I feel like that day. I feel a sense of freedom even in lockdown.
Mm.
I really love a great series on Netflix. I get so absorbed, you know, because that used to be my movies, you know, when you go to movies and I could switch the brain off.
Yeah.
I found that with Netflix, I can switch my brain off because there's no ads for me to get up and do more chores.
Yeah.
So lots of joy. I love being in the garden. I love reading outside. I love the sun. Oh, I love the sun. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah, just the small things, really. I love the small things.
Yeah, good. So what are you most excited about in your life right now?
My book, my new book, Plan B, A Guide to Navigating and Embracing Change, which I wrote in lockdown last year. So
So
the family was all here. The kids were homeschooling and my husband was here and we had the 8 p.m. curfew. We had the 5 kilometre from home rule. So I hired an Airbnb 1 kilometre from my house.
Yeah.
And I moved in.
Wow, I love that.
I know. And I sat there all alone for 7 days and I wrote and wrote and wrote and I poured out my 20 years of coaching. It was it was like bringing 20 of clients that I've coached through divorce, through loss of a loved one, through job redundancy, through health scares. It was, how can I put this into a beautiful guidebook that is for any human on the planet? You know, my son breaks up with a girlfriend and the world ends. Well, this is your guide. This is your journey through change. We all know what that feels like, that first breakup. We all know what it feels like when, you know, you get the job and it didn't turn out how you wanted, or something happens with your business, or there's a pandemic and we're in lockdown and we're grieving that we can't see our friends and family. So I wanted to do like a bullet point summary of the 4 stages that humans go through whenever we get a curveball thrown at us. And I have never found a book like it, so I thought it's time to write it. So that's pretty exciting at the moment. It launched a couple of days ago. It's gone to its 3rd print run already in 2 weeks. So I'm very excited about it. I think that it's going to help a lot of people. If you're in year 12, you don't get the mark you want, this will guide you through it. Yeah. It is taking you through recognizing what's just happened, the grief process, how to breathe. You know, if there's ever an accident, what's the first thing people say to you? Take a breath, just breathe.
Yeah.
So we start there. Let's take the breath. Let's acknowledge our feelings and fear. Let's embrace grief and work with it and try and understand it because we've never been taught it.
Yeah.
And then let's change the narrative, that brain, that story in our brain that, oh, my life's ruined because I have chronic fatigue. Maybe it's my gift.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm living a very mindful life now.
That's right.
Instead of a crazy fast forward A-type person who hasn't noticed anything.
Yeah.
And then it goes into how to heal and restore and recover. So it puts the whole mental health and wellbeing coping strategies into one section. So sinking into self-care, how to renew and how to refuel, how to open up that positive pathway again and how to relinquish the past and say, well, I've got this, I've got to move forward. And then we go into reset, the pivot, and that's all about, let's plant new seeds. Let's set some fresh goals. Where do you want to be in 3 years' time? Let's ignite the new flame in you and create a new cheer squad and to simplify your life with a new vision. And then the last part of the book is about rejoicing and radiating, which is let's get going on the new journey. Let's embrace the joy of whatever happened to us and move forward with our life. And let's reclaim our personal power and let's find that resilience. And then let's celebrate every small win we have along the way, because I think what's happening, especially at the moment, is people are not celebrating any small win that they're having.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why they're burning out. They're not high-fiving themselves. They're not turning the music up and having a celebration dance. I mean, my book launched 2 weeks ago in Melbourne lockdown where I couldn't even go to a shop.
Yeah.
So, in my family or my mum or my friends. So I had a dance party in the kitchen.
Yeah,
you know,
good.
We have to find ways to celebrate every small win that we're doing. You've cleaned out a room, great, go and celebrate.
Yeah.
We really need to embrace celebration and gratitude into our life.
Sounds amazing, and no doubt it will help so many people. I'm looking forward to reading it myself. There's so many aspects of that. I thought, oh, yeah, I could definitely get stuck into that right now. So, yeah, and the timing is impeccable. Is there anything that keeps you up at night?
No.
No.
I sleep 8 hours solid every night. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that that happens because I write in my journal. the last thing I write is about what I'm grateful for and what went well today.
Yeah.
And so the last thoughts before we go to sleep are always in joy and gratitude.
Mm.
My to-do list for tomorrow is already done. My closeout for tomorrow already done. So there's actually nothing to think about. I never sleep with a phone in the bedroom. So the phone goes off at 8:30, put away, don't want to see it again. So I'm not doing any of that doom scrolling still at 9:30 at night, putting all of those images and breaking news and Snapchat and Twitter and Instagram and whatever else, TikTok you're on. All of that is not going into my brain after 8:30. So it's getting an hour and a half to decompress before we even go to bed. Whereas if you're going to bed, shutting the laptop, taking the phone to bed, having a quick scroll, and you're exhausted, you fall asleep instantly, and then you wake up at 2 a.m. because you have to process it all.
Yeah.
So I'm very protective of my sleep. It's very important to me.
Yeah, good. Besides Plan B and the other amazing books you've written, what's something that you've done that you're most proud of?
I think it was embracing technology last year.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm really bad, really bad. I can barely post on Instagram. I do, but it's so clunky. I'm not good at it. And I've got teenagers. Yeah. You'd think I'd be better at it. But I had to embrace, you know, WebEx and Zoom and Teams and presenting on a screen when for the last 20 years I've been presenting in boardrooms and theatres and lecture halls and big ballrooms with 500 people, and to go to the screen was so intimidating for me. Learning to use the microphone, that was all too hard.
Wow.
So those are those blocks that I had to navigate, whereas for some people it's really easy.
Yeah. How did you go with having that, you know, physical, literal disconnect from being in front of people and doing what you do?
It was sometimes there's 200 people on the screen and half of them have got their camera off.
Yeah.
So you're talking to some initials for an hour, and that the output was enormous and there was no input. And I think with everybody that feels exhausted at the moment, it's we're doing a lot of output but no input. I haven't got the joy of the gym, the yoga class, the joy of getting energy from other people or dinners or seeing the family. It was so isolating. And I realized there's no input. So I had to really work hard on what would bring me joy to fill up my tank so that I could do so much output onto a screen that wasn't giving much back.
That's right. Extra challenges, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I've made them incredibly interactive now.
Good.
I call people out and I'm like typing in the chat, you know, let's have a great time. We've got to make it fun.
Absolutely. So true. Shanna, what are you most grateful for right now?
I am very, very grateful that people still want to be coached. They want to learn. They want to evolve. I got myself a coach last year for the first time in 6 years. I'm a master coach.
Yeah.
So I had a coach in my ear every 2 weeks, and it really elevated my business to another level. I'm very grateful for my health, for my mental health, for my physical health, that I've just kept going when I've done so much output. I think I've worked harder in the last 18 months than I've worked in 10 years and managed the kids' homeschooling and my husband working from home. I'm grateful that we were able to be a family for the last year, actually, with teenagers who normally would be gone, don't want to hang out with mum and dad, where we've had some really fun times together.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. And I think so many people would have found that kind of joy and, you know, happiness amongst the chaos of having families home all the time and going through the motions of, you know, managing a pandemic and being locked down, but hopefully being able to find some joy in it and some of the good times as well.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty special. So I ask myself every day, what is the gift?
Yeah.
And even in the middle of winter, in the middle of lockdown and it's hailing outside, I was like, what is the gift? And I had to search.
Mm.
I had to write it down. And I think that really kept me going and kept me very positive.
I love that piece of advice. I'm definitely going to do that myself. And it is the wintry days for me hit me harder because you're looking out the window going, oh, yeah. Why do I live here? Yeah.
Yes, I ask myself the same question.
I love this city, but the winters are harsh. So, yeah, yeah. Finally, Shanna, what's one piece of advice you'd share with someone listening today? And I know you've already given us so much, but someone who's going through burnout themselves, if there was just one little thing you could suggest that they try or, yeah.
I think it's a mindset which is called control the controllables.
Yeah.
So get back in control, you know, set the boundaries, control what you can control, let go of a lot of the things you can't control, and to remember that this too shall pass. You know, anxiety passes, joy passes, happiness passes, frustration passes, depression passes, overwhelm passes. We are in a constant state of change.
Yeah.
So allowing it to all flow a little bit more and to focus on what can I do today and how can I make today great and what do I choose for myself today? It's just keeping life that simple. We don't need to catastrophize and overcomplicate.
Perfect. Shanna, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a joy to speak to you.
Wonderful to share some tools and tips and keep up the great work.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed today's chat with Shanna Kennedy. That was just an absolute joy and delight for me to be able to speak to Shanna today. As I said, I've known of her and followed her work for years, and her book, The Life Plan, has given me so much at various points of my life, and I do highly recommend you go out and grab it. If you're looking for some further support with managing or avoiding burnout yourself, the Breaking Up with Burnout mini course is available now. You'll get access to 3 modules that cover life, work, and burnout, which you can move through at your own pace. Head to the link in our show notes to find out more, or go to theburnoutclub.com/breakingupwithburnout. Thank you for listening today. I appreciate your time, and I'll chat to you very soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us. If you're suffering from burnout or want some tips on how to avoid it, join our Facebook group, the Burnout Club Community. If you've gotten something out of today's episode, we'd love your review. Simply click the link in the show notes to share your thoughts. Until next time, go gently.